This episode was sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show.
It's not playing with Lex and Dan.
It's time once again for Not Playing with Lex and Dan, the only podcast you're listening to right now. I'm Lex.
I am listening to two podcasts right now.
Oh, you
I'm
fooled
extremely
me.
Confused.
Well, great job. And as you know, if you're a regular listener, and as you're about to learn, if you're a first timer, this is a podcast wherein we listen. No, we don't listen. We watch movies that everyone else.
Yeah. We don't listen.
We watch movies that everyone else has already seen, but that we have not. Now, in tonight's case,
I don't know if everyone has seen this movie.
Yeah.
But everyone should see this movie. I'll put it that way.
So we're getting, you know, season two. We're getting a looser with the conceit. I'm fine with it.
Well, and I have picked this because it is a favorite of mine. I enjoy this movie so much. I can in no way guarantee that you will enjoy it. I think you might.
Okay.
But you're also going into it totally blind, which is just fascinating to me, and I'm really excited
say,
about this.
You know, like, so, you know, we typically introduce the movie that the other one has seen. So I would say, you know, we're going to watch the 1997 classic, but I don't know. I haven't, at your request, I haven't looked up anything. So I don't know what year this movie is from. I don't know who's in it. I know nothing of the plot.
Just, you have no idea, not even an actor or a director.
This is the blindest I have gone into a movie in the entire time we've been doing this podcast. I don't know anything.
This is hilariously delightful. Okay.
I don't even know if it's like, is it military? Is it about airplanes? Like, is it about a bird? Is the titular hawk
all,
a bird?
All I can tell you, Lex, without giving away too much, is that it is a movie.
Okay.
That is literally all I can tell you.
And it has been important to you that I not have anything spoiled. So I don't know if that means there's
I think it's a test case thing for me. I feel like a lot of times people come into movies, as we often do, even with movies we haven't seen, where
with
we've
some
heard
kind of
something
expectation.
Or we have. Yeah. You know, we were talked about this for, you had this for LA Confidential, right? Like you thought this was going to be a movie that you wouldn't like.
Right.
And I don't know if that was, you know, you may legitimately not like it, but it's hard to tell what of that is predisposition, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So going into something with no preconceptions at all suggests to me that you're like, you're a blank slate. It's just exciting. This is like laboratory conditions.
Yeah. Yeah. This is,
you are the control group, Lex.
So we're watching Hudson Hawk, and at your insistence, I haven't even, I don't even know where this movie's available. I assume it's on the usual places like Amazon Prime and whatnot.
That is a great question. I think it is available on Amazon. I'm checking right now to see if you can find it. It is definitely available for purchase on Amazon Prime.
So there you go. You can watch it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on.
I didn't mean that it was like free. I just meant Amazon is like you.
You should be able to find
it.
It's not a movie that is impossible to acquire.
What year is it from?
It is from the 90s.
Okay.
Early 90s.
So it's an early 90s movie.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, this is the time when we say, you know, here's what I expect, and I got nothing. Guess is that it's, I don't know. I truly have nothing. Anything I say is going to sound idiotic. My guess.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun.
My guess is that it's got something to do with, I'm guessing it's a family movie about the military. That's what I'm going to go with.
Okay. Lex, before we get started with this week's movie, would you like to tell our fine listeners at home a little bit about this week's sponsor?
I would. I would love to. We're sponsored today by Hulu Plus. You've probably tried Hulu on your computer. Hulu Plus is so much more. Dan, you watch a lot of shows with Hulu Plus as an active customer. What current season episodes, since Hulu Plus gets you current season episodes of your favorite shows, what are your favorite shows that you're watching?
Oh, man, there are so many. It's hard to pick just a few, but I would say my favorites include Arrow. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, as I believe you did as well.
I really do.
And I think one of the top new shows this year was The Blacklist with James Spader, who we saw last season in Mannequin.
Yeah. You can also watch every episode of some older shows with Hulu Plus, including Lost and Doctor Who. I'm a fan of those.
Yeah, you. I know you are. You are quite the fan. I am also a fan of Lost and Doctor Who.
So now more than ever, there is so much to watch on Hulu Plus. You get total control with Hulu Plus to stream those shows and thousands more as much as you want, whenever you want. Hulu Plus works on your computer, your smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, PlayStation, pretty much any streaming device you already own.
I think I've watched it on all of the, like, I have like four devices hooked up to my TV that will display Hulu, and I think I've watched it on all of them.
You can even watch Hulu Plus on your iPhone or iPad while on the train, at work, at the dentist, or in the bathroom. Even in your dentist's bathroom. Block off a whole day and binge. Not in your dentist's bathroom. That would be really weird.
That'd be rude, too.
I don't know if you know this, Dan. As an active Hulu Plus subscriber, you also get exclusive access to stream the Criterion Collection movies. If you're a film geek, you know that these aren't that easy to get your hands on, and you and I have probably not seen many of them.
This is true.
Hulu Plus has all of them, the entirety of the Criterion Collection. Do you have a favorite from the Criterion Collection?
Well, I think there are some, if I'm not mistaken. I believe the Criterion Collection includes a number of good works from Akira Kurosawa. As I browse through there, I did notice Yojimbo, which is an excellent samurai movie, is in there. And later the basis for the Clint Eastwood famous spaghetti western, Fistful of Dollars.
I used Hulu Plus to watch the original 12 Angry Men, which I had never seen.
That's a good movie.
Thank you. I was, I agree.
You made it yourself.
Yeah, it's, I worked hard on it. And, you know, it's a bunch of movies and kids shows are there. And there are many kids shows and movies that are ad free on Hulu Plus. You can watch them without worrying about any interruption.
That's pretty sweet.
And you get everything. You get all of Hulu Plus for just $8 million a month. No, I know it seems like they could charge $8 million a month, but they do not. They charge $7.99 a month to get your entertainment anytime, anywhere. That's like a quarter a day.
I know that some of our listeners are not up in the math, but I will tell you categorically that $7.99 a month is less than $8 a month.
Yeah, he is 100% correct. We've double-checked this. Right now, sign up at HuluPlus.com/notplaying and get 2 weeks full access completely free. That is an entire extra week more with this special offer than if you would sign up without using our special URL. So to get 2 weeks of free, uninhibited, full Hulu Plus access, go to HuluPlus.com/notplaying. You're going to fall in love, so get with it and start streaming TV now with Hulu Plus. One more time, HuluPlus.com/notplaying. Thanks, Hulu.
Thanks, Hulu. Plus Hulu.
And right before we sync up with everybody else and press play, I do want to say we've got that survey. We've mentioned it a couple times. If you haven't filled it out yet, now's a great time. Well, maybe when you're done listening, but go to podsurvey.com/notplaying. Again, it's podsurvey.com/notplaying. You give us a little bit of information so we know who's listening, and you get a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. So there you go.
Excellent. All good things. That Amazon $100 gift card comes directly from Lex Friedman's salary.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Last week it came from mine. Now yeah. It comes from Lex's.
It's only fair.
I know. Well, we switch off. We're partners.
Boy, I don't know anything about this movie, man.
All right. Well, I hope you are ready to experience it.
I am. And so you and I are both synced up so that the horse has run in.
Yep.
And the logo has faded away.
So, yeah, you're about at what?
139.36.
All right. In that case, let's get ready to press play then.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1.
I have news for you.
Oh?
I know you have been long desiring to say that you have seen Hudson Hawk. And now, at long last, you finally can.
I thought it was excellent.
Really?
I did.
Okay. I'm relieved to hear that. Because I can understand that it's not to everybody's taste as a movie. I enjoy
it. Really,
it's funny. Because it's completely and utterly
Steve
ridiculous.
Steve Martin played Ook?
You know, he's very talented. I'll see Danny Aiello III.
I wonder if that was not the Steve Martin.
That was probably him. Yeah, I saw this movie, I think, when I was probably like late teens or early 20s, like I think during college. And I had never heard of it before seeing it. And by the time I finished it, I was like, I don't know what this is, but it is a hilarious movie.
It's a different Steve Martin. Yeah, I don't...
This movie is famously panned. Like, it did really, really poorly because everyone sort of... It is kind of a... Like, Bruce Willis, you know, as you saw, wrote it. He sings. And I think, you know, everybody considered it kind of self-indulgent and ridiculous. Which it clearly is.
Right. Well, I mean, he wrote the story. He didn't write the script.
Right, right.
But, I mean, it's very much... So, I mean, I don't think it's, like, excellent. I thought it was enjoyable. But it's, you know, it's slapstick. And they regularly are using... Stooges-esque sound effects,
right,
and visuals even, and I love comedy, and when this movie is working hard to be funny, I think it succeeds, and I thought that it was very funny when it was trying to be funny. If I had a complaint, it's that there are stretches where it's not as funny, but when it's funny, it's very funny. So I enjoyed the experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think to me, it's all summed up in that last scene with Tommy, right? Where they're like, yeah, yeah, that must have been what happened, right? Like,
yes.
It's so over the top and so ridiculous and does not, I mean, it's hard to point to a scene in this movie that takes itself seriously.
Right. They, it was ILM. They, they are very aware of what they're doing. They're in on the joke. It's not for this movie to be panned, you'd have to assume that they're not in on the joke, but it's very clear that they are in on the joke the entire time.
Right. Well, I mean, and to me, I think what makes it, what gives it a redeeming quality is that they seem to be having fun. Like, to me, Bruce Willis and Danny Aiello, like, they just seem like they're hanging out and having a good time, right? And that, to me, that chemistry is what makes the movie work, is that these two guys genuinely like each other.
Right.
And without that, you know... If for some reason they didn't convey that, you would not believe in anything in this movie.
I think that's right.
But it is, I can understand why some people don't like it, because it is kind of all over the place, right? It is so ridiculous and stuff that doesn't really, like the candy bars and, you know, Richard E. Grant and Sandra Bernhardt and Leonardo da Vinci. And it's just ridiculous. And, you know, this is... not long after Die Hard. So I think, you know, Bruce Willis at that point had earned a certain amount of star power.
Right.
And so he could make something like that happen. But, you know, I understand that people didn't necessarily all flock to it exactly. It's funny, if you read the Wikipedia article and the reception, it's 24% rotten on Rotten Tomatoes, as according to Wikipedia. I'm guessing that hasn't increased since that was written.
Right.
And then there are all these really, if you read they have excerpts from all these reviews. They're like, Hudson Hawk is a terrible movie and deserves the cold shoulder it's received at the box office. a movie this unspeakably awful can make an audience a little crazy. It received 3 Razzie Awards for Worst Director, Worst Screenplay, and Worst Picture. And they talk about the Richard E. Grant, who plays Darwin Mayflower, in his autobiography, basically talks about it's entirely was done sort of improv on the spot, and they rewrote and replotted a bunch of it during then. And of course, Bruce Willis hasn't really spent any time writing new movies since that point.
I don't know. I understand why it wouldn't be beloved, which I think was your point before. But I mean, it's genuinely funny.
I think it's picked up sort of a cult following, I think, past that point, because with distance, they talk a little bit in the Wikipedia entry about it being marketed as an action movie, and it came on the heels of the second Die Hard movie. So Bruce Willis had established his bona fides as sort of an action comedy star, whereas this is clearly much more skewing towards the comedy end than the action side.
I get it. So, I understand that. And going in knowing nothing, I had no idea what to expect. So I was, you know, surprised and delighted that it was a comedy. I didn't even know that Bruce Willis was in it. I don't know. For me, I just kept thinking, I think the slapstick really leads to this, but I just kept thinking that it was silly. The jokes themselves were silly and it had a silly sense of humor. And I like that.
I mean, for better or worse, it kind of reminds me of the ridiculous, like, you know, skits and stuff I would write with my friends when we were a kid, where it's just like no idea was too stupid, right? Like, you just kind of piled in everything, one joke after the other. And maybe that's not the best, you know, positive thing about a big budget Hollywood movie, but I have a certain amount of sympathy for it, because it just feels like we're just going to throw in all this stuff that we think is funny and kind of end up with this weird hodgepodge of a movie. But I don't know. To me, there are so many lines in this movie that I love, that I, you know, the Pope warned me never to trust the CIA.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these little throwaway lines here and there. The fact that the most consistent plot point is that you can't get a cappuccino.
Yes.
It's ridiculous, but it's funny to me. And I don't know. It appeals to my sense of humor. Even if it's not a great movie, it's something that I have a lot of fun and enjoy.
There were many lines that I enjoyed, and I was thinking, I wish I was one of those people who could really memorize movie lines, because I'm not very good at that. I can memorize movie lines that I hear quoted to me a lot.
Secondhand.
When Bruce Willis decapitates that guy and says, well, I guess you won't be attending that hat convention in July.
Yeah, I love that.
It's such a bad gotcha line. And it's knowingly bad. Like, it's winkingly bad.
Yeah, well, and they're entirely cognizant. I mean, if you watch Bruce Willis's facial expressions throughout this entire movie, he's more or less, for like the first two-thirds of that movie, he's like the straight man, right?
Yeah.
And he kind of is looking around at everybody else going like, what the hell is going on here? And then at the end, he kind of gets into it. And I think it shows he's sort of just embraced, as in that last scene where he's like, that must be what happened. Like, he's just sort of embraced the fact that he's kind of living in a movie.
Right.
And to me, that's sort of like what this is about. Like, it's the fantastic, right? Like, starting with those, even as far back as like the ridiculous cuts where they like fall through the awning and into the chairs, you know, it's cartoonish.
It very much feels like a cartoon. And, you know, the thing, what I'm thinking now is I almost want to correct myself, because it is slapstick and it is cartoony, like you just said, but it also, the dialogue is a third genre, or maybe a second genre. Like, if we say that slapstick and cartoony are two different things, mm-hmm. like, the dialogue has a humor tone all its own of ridiculous silliness that even has some range. Like, how am I driving? Call 1-800, I'm gonna fucking die, when he's on the gurney.
I love that entire scene on the stretcher,
right?
Because
the whole gurney scene is totally ridiculous.
Well, because and you know, the bit where the ambulance goes up off the ramp and explodes before it's even hit anything, and it's just like, Caesar, Anthony, you okay?
Yeah. I don't know. The performances, I thought, were true to the.
They're not.
Tone.
They're not Oscar-winning performances, but everybody kind of gets in. Like,
I feel like everybody commits.
Right, and that's the thing, is if anybody was sort of just like not, you know, trying to do something that wasn't in keeping with the tone of the movie, I think that could, you know, poke holes in it. But everybody just sort of seems to throw, like, hey, all right, this is what we're doing. I'm just going to throw my all into this character, you know, even if it's the totally most ridiculous thing. Like you said, they commit it, right? I mean, even Andy McDowell, who is a great actress, she totally gets into this role. And she plays it perfectly, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Annie McDowell, and she's in a lot of movies that I enjoy. I often feel like she doesn't differentiate her characters from each other very much. But
fair point.
I don't know. I can't think of another time when I saw Bruce Willis be that goofy.
Well, he was originally a comic actor. I mean, if you go back to like Moonlighting.
Right. I've never seen Moonlighting, right. Which might not shock you.
We'll do an entire season where we just watch, you know. But that was what he was known for prior to Die Hard. He was not an action guy. He was, I think there were a couple movies he showed up in as sort of like a handsome romantic lead.
The part I was born to play.
Yeah, obviously the Lex Friedman role.
Right.
But he wasn't really an action star until Die Hard came around. And then he, in some ways, he's become nothing but an action star. Though I actually think he's, you know, you put him up against someone like Nick Cage, because I feel like they've had similar careers.
Interesting.
But like Nick Cage is way more hit and miss. I feel like Bruce Willis, at the base level, he's always Bruce Willis. And he kind of, you know, does his thing. He has a shtick, right? He's got a little bit of range. He's done some dramatic stuff, and I
mean,
feel like
Sixth Sense is very different.
Right. And I mean, you know, and he's done some other things at various points. But I feel like he's always an enjoyable screen presence to watch.
Right.
He's, you know, it's the movie star
which
thing.
I would not say about Nicolas Cage.
Right. It's the movie star thing where it's like, well, yeah, you go to the film to see the movie star, not to see, you know, what role they're playing.
Right.
And I think that works for him just fine because he's very charismatic.
Yes.
And, you know, this... I think he's got good comedic chops. I mean, he displays them in Die Hard, too. It's a very different style of comedy.
Right.
You know, it's like one-liners and stuff like that. But it's you know, he's a talented comedic actor for certain. And, you know, maybe this was a little self-indulgent as movies go. But I think he does a pretty good job with it. And it's, you know, it's delightfully ridiculous. I don't know what else to say about it other than I'm sorry it is much maligned. But at the same time, I am glad that it's still, you know, out there for those of us who really enjoy it to not only watch, but share with other people.
The, you know, early on when the movie started, especially again, since I had no idea what to expect, I'm going to have to watch the trailer to see how it was advertised. Mm-hmm. But early on, you know, they start in with the Da Vinci scenes. And I said, boy, I have no idea what to expect from this.
That's why I was, you know, when we were going into it, I was like, I'm not going to tell you anything because the beginning of this movie is totally misleading.
But I mean, even as we're, you know, talking here, I've queued up several articles like from the AV Club and from Den of Geek that are trying to defend this movie and saying why people should have liked it. But you know, it had a bit of a Naked Gun feel at times, but the Naked Gun is trying to be as stupid as possible.
Right.
And I feel like the Hudson Hawk was a bit different in that it was just trying to be
ridiculous.
Right, ridiculous and silly. And, you know, all of the Naked Gun is winking to the camera. And here they were very choosy about when they wink to the camera.
Right.
And I appreciate that. I mean, I appreciate both techniques.
Oh.
But this felt different.
I do have to point out my favorite bit of trivia from this. And this may be something that you are not aware of because I'm guessing you have maybe never seen North by Northwest.
I have not.
Okay. So in North by Northwest, the plot of that is that Cary Grant is mistaken for a spy, and who may or may not exist. And, that spy's name is George Kaplan. And so I love that there is a tip of the hat to Hitchcock in a movie. This, you know, Hitchcock who meticulously plotted and wrote his movies.
Right.
But I always enjoyed that because, you know, he is a spy. And James Coburn, who is just, I mean, the man's a legend, and he's perfectly willing to sort of get into it and slum it here. And I really love that. He is so good here. It's a ridiculous role, but he again, I think you nailed it. He commits. He's just like, yeah, okay, I'm going to be some crazy evil spy who's a holdover from the 80s.
And you know, a thing about me in movies, Dan, is that I tend to get bored during some of their most difficult scenes to create. So typically during a car chase scene or during fight scenes or gun battles, all of which require a lot of careful planning and choreography and whatever else, I find them boring because the outcome is generally, you know, ahead of time, especially if it's, you know, not in the final minutes of the movie, you know that the good guy is going to survive or whatever. And I was starting to worry for a moment that this, you know, when I saw the fight scene developing between Coburn and Willis near the movie's climactic finish, I was like, I wonder what direction this is going to go. And then it went ridiculously funny. Like, to me, that is the most cartoony element of the
movie. It is.
And
well, because they clearly, like, should we bother teaching James Coburn actual karate? Right. Probably not.
And then Bruce Willis's body is simply bouncing up and down on its own while Coburn laughs at it. And then Coburn leaps to his own death unintentionally. It's ridiculous.
I have to give a shout out because I do love the entirely inexplicable role played by David Caruso.
Yes.
It's just delightful. Doesn't make any sense. Never explained.
He's the one with the cards?
He's Kit Kat, yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't speak. He has all the cards. He dresses up like things randomly, including members of the cast. He knows about the blue wire. None of that is explained. But it doesn't really matter.
And he always has the exact line of dialogue necessary printed on his
card. Well, you see when he dies, right? All the cards fall out of him.
Yes.
And it's just that I love it. See, that's the thing that gets me about this movie is like they paid attention. There's details like that where it's like, yeah, of course he fell over and like 200 cards fell out of him because he's got to have a lot of cards on him. It's like that is a detail that you would not find in a movie that was dumb and like didn't know it was dumb, right? Like
right.
That's a movie where it's like, yeah, well, that makes sense in the reality of this movie.
Now, in the dumb comedy space, which Farrelly Brothers movies have you seen, if any?
Oh, geez, I'd have to even look up which movies the Farrelly Brothers have made.
Dumb and Dumber?
Nope.
Now I have to look up what the movie... I know you haven't seen There's Something About Mary.
Nope. I can't even find Farrelly Brothers movies.
Kingpin, Me, Myself, and Irene, Shallow Hal.
God, I've seen Me, Myself, and Irene. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Me, Myself, and Irene is a bad one. Have you seen Shallow Hal?
I'm familiar with it, but I have not seen it.
Yeah, that one I think is actually not bad. Because I have this thing about
Mary on
the list. Maybe
I've seen part of it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at their list and I'm like, this does kind of look like a laundry list of movies that I might hate.
Yeah, see, I'm worried about it. Because I would love to show you There's Something About Mary as a movie that it's one of the first movies that I saw in the theater multiple times because it was early in the genre of ridiculously whatever R movies. And I just went back to the theater and saw it a total of four times. I saw it in the theater four times because I thought it was so funny. Nobody thinks it's as funny as as I do. But
I don't know if that bodes
really
well
spoke
for you.
To. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Well,
so I don't know.
It is your pick, though. I mean, you know, I've thrown my hat in the ring with you for better or for worse.
I know, but
this podcast is very much like a marriage.
My goal, though, is to, right or wrong, my goal is to find movies that you will also enjoy.
All right. That's fair.
I'm thinking about it. Because if I didn't do There's Something About Mary, I would probably do Beetlejuice,
okay.
Which... is again going to be a stupid comedy, but I mean, there is no sense that I would consider it Hudson Hawkeyan, but it is a very different kind of comedy from a Farrelly Brothers film. Let's do Beetlejuice because Beetlejuice at least is Alec Baldwin. So how bad could it be?
Is it Michael Keaton?
It does.
And Alec Baldwin?
Yes.
Sorry, you already just taught me something about this movie.
Spoiler alert.
Thanks.
Well, do no further research.
I will not. I will save it up for next week.
But those were two that I was thinking of. I mean, again, the comedy in Hudson Hawk is nothing like the comedy in either of those two movies, with the possible exception that all three of them are content being very much of their tone and being, you know, silly.
Well, what else can you ask for in a movie?
Well, Dan, thank you so much for showing me Hudson Hawk. I really, I enjoyed it. My life is better for having seen it.
I'm glad that you can say that, and I'm glad that you had a good time. I feel like it's brought us closer together, really.
It has. It has.
I look forward to our next film endeavor.
And I guess you won't take first prize in the next hat competition.
Wow. No.
I can't even remember it now.
Nope. Sorry, man.
Can't do it.
Well, thank you all for listening along with us. And if you watched Hudson Hawk as well, we hope you also had a really good time with it. And... for myself and for Lex.
That's me.
We'll see you next week.
Did they all get Oscars?
Oh, yeah. All of them. Every single one.